All right, we're going to start from the Gemara on Daf Hey Mabez, where we got to. Hopefully, you guys had a chance to chazer. I know I almost got there. I didn't finish yet, but I'm almost there. My chazara for a weekend. Hopefully, you guys made a dent in it as well. We're now about 10 lines from the top of the page. I didn't count, so it's probably closer to 9. But Amar Le Rav Nachman Le Rav Yitzchak. 10?
Got it.
10 exactly. Yeah, be a little off today.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm with Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. Again, we had the Gemara beforehand. Rav Nachman and Yitzchak were really, they were buddies. They spent a lot of time together. Nachman asked Rav Yitzchak many questions. Yitzchak always responded with Rav Yochanan's Torah, and he shared with Rav Nachman. So here's the next one. My dichtiv, vayikha, shares a king Shmuel. What does it mean when it says in the Pasuk that Shmuel aged? Shmuel was one of the, Shmuel HaNavi, the one who appointed Shaul and David HaMelech. It says that he aged. Gemara says over here, he aged. Umisiv Shmuel Kulihai. Was Shmuel such a Saba? Like an aged person? Was he so old? Vabar Nun Beis Haba. He died at the age of 52. Damar Mar, Mace Benun Beis Shana, Zeo Mitasar Shol Shmuel HaRamasi. It says in the Gemara Moed Katan, if someone dies at the age of 52, they died at the age of Shmuel HaRamasi. So why are we saying that he aged? Vayi Kasher Zakein Zakan Shmuel, Zakein Shmuel. So the Gemara, Amar Lo Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yitzchak says Rabbi Nachman, this is what Rabbi Yochanan stated about that pasuk. Zikna Kaf Salav. Like we have the story of Elazar ben Azariah, right? Harani Kiben Shidim Shana, where he aged, he was a very young person, and the Gemara Brachos brings down, he aged to be able to become the Rosh Hashiva. So we have over here also a similar idea that Shmuel aged, Zikna Kaf Salav, Zikna jumped upon him. He aged very quickly. Dichsiv Nichamti Kiim Lachti Eshol. This part of the story of Shmuel. Shmuel was upset. He regretted appointing Shaul as the king. This over here is a discussion over here. And what happens? Amr Lefanav, Ribbono Shalom. Shmuel says to Hashem, you know, here we are right now, second guessing Shaul HaMelech as the right king. Shikaltani Kimoshe Aaron. You equated me, like the Shkols to weigh. You weighed me. You equated me to be like Moshe and Aaron. It says the Pasuk. Moshe Aaron Bechonav. Ushmuel b'korei Shemo. We say this in davening and Friday night davening, right? So Moshe v'Aaron b'chonav. Moshe and Aaron in their priestly role, and Shmuel b'korei Shemo. And Shmuel when he calls out my name. So we see over here that Shmuel and Moshe and Aaron were kind of like treated as equals in some ways, and therefore Shmuel says to Hashem, "Here we are, Hashem. You're regretting appointing Shaul as the king, but I appointed Shaul. Meaning you had me be the liaison." And appoint Shaul. But my Moshe and Aaron, just like Moshe and Aaron, what they did, their Maase Yedeim, what they did in this world, was never mevatel. It was not blocked out in their lifetime. B'chayim. Afani lo yizvato Maase Yedai b'chayim. Also, I'm asking you, Hashem, don't make what I did in this world kind of be nullified and ignored. Over here, Rashi points out, what did they do? They appointed Yoshua. Yeshua ben Nun was the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rashi even quotes that Aaron also taught Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore he, up to Moshe and Aaron dying, Yeshua ben Nun took over. It wasn't Mevato. Their training of Yeshua lasted beyond their lives. So says Shmuel, I'm the one who appointed Shaul through you, Hashem. Don't make my appointments in my lifetime run out either. And therefore, as Hashem is now saying that he's Nicham Tiki Masi Shaul, that I'm regretting making Shaul the king, that's what Hashem is saying. So Shmuel says back, well, listen, you know, you treat me like Moshe and Aaron. I'm asking you similarly not to be mevatel my hard work, what I worked hard for in this world while I'm still living. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu says to himself, Hechi Avi, what am I going to do right now? How am I going to handle the situation? Limo Shaul, if I'm going to kill Shaul right now because I don't like how he's behaving as a king, lo kash shavik Shmuel. Shmuel's not going to let me do that. I mean, what does he mean let me? I mean, God does anything. But Shmuel, who's a Navi, is very upset. He doesn't want me to do that. So I feel bad doing that. Limo Shmuel, may I should kill Shmuel. After all, then he won't be alive. And his whole Shmuel, anybody that asked, he asked, he didn't want to see Shaul lose his reign. So maybe really, I should let Shmuel die. And then I can take Shaul from the world. So he says, well, I can't do that either. Because Ad Zutar, because they're so young, Zutar means young or small. That they are small, that Shmuel is small, Miranene Abasrei. They're all going to Miranene. They're all going to question Shmuel. After Shmuel, maybe he wasn't a tzaddik. After all, Shmuel died at the age of 52, at a very young age. Maybe he looked young. Maybe something, he had some chatayim, some sins, That's why he died. I don't want to do that. And then people start questioning Shmuel's righteousness. So rather, lo limos Shaul, lo limos Shmuel. If I don't kill Shaul, I don't kill Shmuel. I let everyone stay alive right now. Well, that's not going to work either. Why? For Yigia Malchus David. Because it's already time for David the Melech to become the Melech. It's his reign is supposed to start. And one kingdom cannot touch the other kingdom, meaning one Malchus cannot touch or overlap with its friend, its Malchus friend, even a Malay Nema, even a hair's amount, even the amount of a hair. And therefore, I can't kill Shmuel, I can't kill Shaul. If I kill Shaul, everyone's going to think he's a Russia. That's why, sorry, one more time. I can't kill Shaul, Shmuel's Mamido. I can't kill Shmuel, because if I kill Shmuel, then people are going to think he's a bad guy. He died at a young age. And I can't let both of them live, because then David HaMelech can't be the king anymore. So what am I going to do right now? Says the Gemara, therefore, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu ekfitz alav zikna. I'll make age. I'll now make Shmuel older, so that when he dies, everyone thinks he dies an old man. That's what it means. It says in the Pasuk, B'shul Yoshev b'giva, tachas ha'eshel b'rama. It says Shaul dwelled in the giva, underneath the eshel b'rama. So the Gemara over here says, now again, the Giva is located in the property, Rashi went out of Binyamin, and the Rama is in the property of Ephraim. You don't know. Yeah. Come. The Chima in Giva is a Rama. Why would there be the Giva? Why is the Giva near the Rama? Meaning the Giva and the Rama are very different places. Around your question?
Yeah, but didn't the kingships overlap when Bnei Israel split? Like all the time.
Good. So that was a rebellion. But when there's a kingdom over the whole Klal Yisrael, there's someone's time, and the moment his time is up, someone else takes over right that second. It's like, you know, one goes and the other one comes. So right now it's supposed to be David's time. So Shaul never was supposed to kind of pass the baton over from one to the other one. So he can't really prolong this anymore. It's David Melech's time to reign. Good question. Yeah, Gabe, what do you got?
So Hashem or Shmuel said, I regret making Shaul king.
Hashem said, I regret making Shaul the king. And Shmuel says, listen, Hashem, it's not for my sake. It's what I did. It's one of my crowning glories in this world, is appointing the king. I can't watch my lifetime and fall apart like this.
Got it.
Okay. So whoever here says, what does it mean when it says Giva and Rama? I mean, Giva, again, is where he went to, Shaul went to dwell in Giva underneath the Eshel, the tree in the other Rama. They're different places. One was in the tribe of Binyamin, one in the tribe of Ephraim. Who caused Shaul to dwell in the Giva? Who allowed Shaul to mean to be around, to stay alive longer? An extra 2.5 years of his life he lived beyond the time when he really should have passed on the kingdom to David. It was the davening of Shmuel Haramasi. That's what allowed Shaul to retain his position, even though Hashem was ready to kick him out, due to the tefillah of Haramasi. That's what Ramami is not referred to the land of Ephraim. It refers to Haramah, was referred to Shmuel Haramasi. His tefillah allowed Shaul to retain and to stay in his position he was in. That's why he was able to dwell in the Givat. Givat Shmuel, actually, it's called Givat Shmuel. Maybe some of you have heard of it today, Givat Shmuel. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Is that for us? Wow. Thank you. Amen. Okay. The Gemara goes on. Meaning, who would say that one person gets pushed off the other person? Rashi points out here, why should Shmuel get pushed aside by David HaMelech? Meaning, where do we see such an idea that Shmuel makes a statement like this? And then he dies early, so that David HaMelech doesn't lose his opportunity to be the king at the right time. Where do we find such a concept? Is that true? So he says, "In yes, that is true. That one person can push the other person out of his time." How do we know? I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonasan. My dichsiv al kein chatzavti banavim harag sim beimrefi, which means I looked up for you beforehand. Let me find this spot here. It means literally. Because I've made my words clear cut through the prophets, I have slain the sinners through the utterance of my mouth. Imre Fid says, the utterance of my mouth has slain people, killed people. Alma, sorry, b'maseh, it doesn't say b'maseh, it doesn't say with my actions I've slain them, I killed them. Ella, the Imre Fid, with my words I killed them. Alma, we see there. Mitzri Gabra, Machmi Gabra, that one person's words can in fact push someone else out of their reign. Meaning a person who makes a request. Meaning, okay, over here, according to the way Rashi explains it, because of what I decreed, that's David's time, and Shmuel doesn't want to see Shaul's reign end in his time, so then Shmuel dies, so David can take over. So we see over here that Shmuel died before David came. Shmuel was pushed away for David, because the Imre Fi, because the Gzera Hashem made. Yeah, Gabe.
What's Chatzavti Hanavim?
Chatzavti means like to chisel out. But over here, the way he said over here is clear cut through the prophets. Cut through the prophets. Okay. Says the Gemara, new discussion. So this part you can focus on, right? Interesting. Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, how the Yaskis go. Again, Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak has spent a lot of time together. As we saw up till now, the whole last Amud was all about Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak talking. Rav Nachman asked Rav Yitzchak a question. Rav Yitzchak responding with Rav Yochanan's Torah that he learned from him. Rav Nachman Yitzchak are Yasvi Bisudasa. They're eating, they're sitting at a meal together, at a meal together. I'll be Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak. Lema Mar Milsa. Say something to me. Let me hear some words. Amar Lei. So he said to him, Hachem Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said the following thing. Ein Masich Bisuda Shem Yaktiv Kan Leveshet. You shouldn't speak in the during a Suda. You shouldn't talk lest your windpipe open up instead of your esophagus, and then your trachea, you would die. The wrong pipe would go the wrong way. The food would go the wrong pipe, and you could suffocate. That God forbid. So I don't want to. That's the quote of Yochanan, but I don't want to say anything in the meal. Rather, the viavu de sakana, and he would then endanger himself. But Buster the Sud after the meal, Amalei Yitzchak Rav Nachman. Okay, Rav Yochanan. Yochanan said the following thing: Yaakov vino lo meis. Yaakov never died. Where it says Amalei bichdi saftu saftaina. V'chantu chantaya v'kavru kiraya. So Nachman is back to Yitzchak. What? For no reason then did everyone, the eulogizers eulogize him? The embalmers embalm him? And the burial, people bury him? Meaning, what does it mean? He never died. He went through a whole process and he was, there was many days he was in Mitzrayim and they embalmed him. That, if he was still alive, that sounds terrible. So Amalei, he says, listen, all I can say is Mikrati Darj. I'm learning that from a pasuk. Shinamar, as it says, Vata Altira Avdi Yaakov Num Hashem Vealtechas Yisrael Kihinini Moshiach Berachok Veezaracha Me'eret Shavim, which means do not fear the servants of Yaakov, says Hashem. Do not despair, Israel, because I'm going to save you from afar. The children, your children from a land of their Shavim, of their captives. And over here, it says over here, the Gemara, that the pasuk in Yirmiyahu is making a connection between Yaakov and his children. Mikish hu zaro. Yaakov is connected to his children. Mazaro b'chayim, ahu b'chayim. Just like his children are still living. But do Yaakov still alive? What does it mean Yaakov still alive? It's hard to say. But even Tosla here points out that if you remember, after we did it in Sota together, Tosla quotes Sota. Even when Yaakov died, he was still alive. Remember what happened with Yaakov when he was being buried?
His bone shook. No?
No, that was Yehuda. You know what happened to Yaakov when he was being buried?
Yaakov.
Come on, boys.
With Hushim and Dan?
Yeah, tell everyone.
Tell him. It wasn't happened to his bones.
No, it wasn't his bones. It what happened to him when he was buried. Tell the story. Do you want to say it? Boys, Gemara Sota. Hushim ben Dan. Remember the story? Esav stops the burial. Hushim ben Dan gets like, what's going on over here? And he takes out.
Kills him, right?
What happens next? Remember what happened next?
He kills Esav.
Okay, what happened afterwards?
He ran to Egypt.
His head rolls into the.
Okay, that's what everyone says, but that's not what the Gemara says. Yeah, Uriel's right. They ran to Egypt, but while this was happening in Egypt, while the thugs were in Egypt, they killed him. What happened? Who remembers what the Gemara told us? Different than the Rashi tells us. The different than you've heard. Esav's eyes pop out. They land on. Yeah. Nope. Remember? They land on Yaakov's lap. It said he opened up his eyes, Yaakov, and he smiled. Remember this?
Vaguely.
So the point is that Tosafot, I mean, he didn't die. He was dead, but he didn't die. He was still functioning. He was still smiled, whatever that means. So over here, Tosafot quotes that. So we have over here this idea, whatever this means, that Yaakov is still living. Fine. Our Yitzhak, new Gemara. Yitzhak says, Kol Omer Rachav Miad Nikri. Whoever says the name Rachav twice, immediately becomes a Baal Keri. He immediately has a seminal emission. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman states, Ana Amina B'lich Pasli. I say it, nothing happened to me. Amalei, he says back, Kika Amina Biode Umakira. I'm not someone who knows her and recognized her. She was so beautiful. If you would say her name twice, you would think of her. All of a sudden, your body would lose itself. You would have an emission just because you thought of, you said her name. But of course, if someone didn't know her at all, then it would be it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't affect them at all. Gemara tells now a famous story in the Gemara, and it's also turned into a very popular song. Maybe some of you, if my boys are here, I don't mean Yechiel, I mean my other boys are here, I'd have them sing it for us. But they're not. So instead, Daniel Hirsch will sing it for us. Says the Gemara as follows.
I think it should be Bluestein. I think it's got to be Bluestein.
Yeah, Aaron's the singer of the group.
They don't call him Bluestein for no reason.
They don't call him who?
Bluestein.
Okay, cute. Anyways, says the Gemara. Kiavu Mithri Me'adadi, when they were saying goodbye from each other, separated from each other. Amrle Livarchan Mar, he says to him, Rabdachat Ritzah, bless me. Give me a bracha. Amrle Em Shalucha Mashal. I'm going to give you a mashal. You ask me to get your bracha on the way out. Lama Davardomer, what's this discussion we have right now when you ask me to bless you similar to? La'adam Shai Holich B'midbar by a Ra'ev V'ya'ef V'tzameh. A man's in the middle of the desert and he's hungry and he's exhausted and he's thirsty. Umatza Ilan Shapiro Sab Mesukin V'tzilo Na'a V'amasamayim Oberes Tachtav. He finds a tree with sweet fruit, beautiful shade, and a whole stream of river that is flowing right next to it. Acham Perosav. He eats the fruit, he drinks the water, and he sits in the shade of that tree. When he wants to now leave and go back on his way, Amar Ilan Ilan, Ma'avarechacha, tree, how can I bless him? If I would say to you, your fruit should be sweet, Hare Perosecha Mesukin, your fruit's already sweet. If I should say that your shade should be pleasant, your shade already is pleasant. If I would say to you that the stream of water should flow underneath you, it's already the case. Rather, my wish for you is that every other plant that comes from your planting should be just like you. All the other plants should be just like you. Afata, says Rabbi Nachman, same right now. But my bracha, how can I bless you? In Torah, Harishcha Torah. I might not read this, the gears of the Bach, but it'll be the one we have here. But Torah, you already have Torah. In Beosher, regarding wealth, Hare Osher, you already have wealth. In Bebanim, regarding children, Hare Banim, you already have children. Eli, he Ratzon. My bracha to you is that your children that come from your loins should be just like you. Famous Gemara, beautiful bracha to give someone. It's a very important idea as well.
Great song.
You know the song? You know it or not?
Yeah.
Maybe you can find it there so when we finish, you can play it for us at the very end.
Okay. I don't know if you can hear it from my phone. I'll find it on my computer then. I'm on my phone right now.
Go to the computer. Okay, but not yet. Anyway, back in the Gemara, last part, then we'll stop. Tanur Rabbanan Yoreh. We mentioned before the word Yoreh signifies the very first rainfall of the season. Now, why is it called Yore? Shemoreh Sabrios Latiach Gagusein Ulachnis as Perusein Lasos Kol Tzarchein. Yore means to teach. Again, back then, my dad was saying before, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have any internet or weathermen back in the day. And how would you know that there's about to be rain? It would rain. That's how you know. And that rain would moreh, that would teach us, that would show everybody, the Brios, the people of the world, Latiach, I was saying, they're going to start now putting plaster or putting some cement and sealing up their roofs. Lachlis and Perusei, saying, bring in all the fruit that were drying out in the field and on their roofs, bring them into the house. Anything else I do, take care of the rainy season coming, take care of that as well. Davar Acher, another pshat, that's why it's called Yoreh. Shemar Meraveh, Esa Aretz. It saturates the land, umashkeh at home, and it waters until the depths of the ground. Shneamar talmeh rave nachas gidudeha b'rivivim t'mo gagna simcha t'varich. Which means, where's the samachay? What is it? Where's the source? Samachay what?
Tehillim samachay.
Samachay where though? What's the pasuk? You know?
Yud Aleph.
Okay. It says the following. It says, to abundantly water its ridges. Talmeh raveh naches. Gidudeha means settle its furrows. Talmeh is the furrows, I think. Talmeh, it's furrows. Raveh naches gidudeha, which means you abundantly water the ridges. Bervivim t'mog gena. You soften it. Sorry, with showers you soften it. And then, tzimcha tvareich, which means you bless its growth. That is the pasuk over here. So we see over here that the first rains, they with raveh, the word raveh is like the word yoreh, raveh, it creates a saturation and moisture all over the ground. Dabar acher, one last pshat, yoreh benachas, ben yoreh bezaf. Yoreh, like the word teach. You should teach benachas. It comes down gently. It does not come down with anger, with fury. Like a teacher shouldn't be furious. He should be gentle. Oh, eno yoreh el shemeshir. Maybe yoreh means something. Maybe it means yoreh shemeshir as haperos, umashiv as hazroim, mashiv as ilanos. Maybe yoreh really means something differently than what we just said. Maybe it's a rainfall that wipes away the fruits. It makes the fruits fall off the tree. It floods. Mashiv is a flood. It floods the seeds. It floods the trees. I mean, why are you assuming the word yoreh is so positive? Maybe it's a negative rain. Talmud Malkosh says the word yoreh umalkosh. It connects yoreh to malkosh. Ma malkosh the bracha. Malkosh is a bracha. After the bracha, the yoreh. Yoreh malkosh. They're both brachas. But it's like, one second. I know malkosh the bracha. We know ela malkosh. Ela malkosh ela shemapios abatim umeshabir as ilanos umalas askayin. Maybe malkosh isn't a bracha. Maybe it means that it knocks down the houses. It breaks the trees. And it brings the locusts. Now, the reason why Malkosh would mean that, over here, according to Rashi, brings it down. It says Shemal. Mal means it like cuts, like a certain mula. It cuts kosh, something that's kasheh, something that's hard. It knocks things down that are very hard. So maybe that's what Malkosh means. Why are you so certain that Malkosh is a good thing? Tell me, Yoreh. It's more because of the word Yoreh. Ma Yoreh lebracha, av Malkosh bracha. No, because Yoreh is a bracha, so Malkosh also bracha. We're saying, okay, I don't understand. We're not sure what Yoreh is, just what Malkosh is. Why are you assuming they're brachas? Mar says, Yoreh gufa mina. How do you know Yoreh itself gufa mina? How do you know Yoreh itself is a bracha? Dichsiv, ubnei tzion gilu, v'simchu ba'ashem lokeichem. The children of Zion rejoice and be happy with Hashem your God. Kinasan lachem is ha-moreh litztaka. Hashem has given you the moreh for tztaka. We see over here, it's a good thing. Geshem moreh, sorry, v'yoreh lachem geshem, moreh makosh b'risho. We quote this in the beginning, the first pasuk we had in our Mishnah, and that Hayim and Aleph, Hashem gives. Let's fall for us rain, Moreh Umalkosh, meaning the first rains and the last rains, Barishon, which is in the first month, which is Nisan. Elsewhere we had beforehand the king, who we had the rain flow, the rain, and we planted the second, third, and fourth days, and then the fifth, 11 days. And the fifth day, we actually planted it, and it grew. Sorry, the next rain fell in the fifth day, and it grew in 11 days. It usually grows in 6 months. That's the plus we quoted beforehand, but now as well. Yeah, Gabe, what's the question?
Just the last part, like the part about the thing about the bad, like the questions, Shemashir at Aperos, like that causes the fall and all this stuff. And then we say like we say all this bad stuff, and then we say just like Malkosh is a bracha, Yoreh is a bracha, like just like Yoreh is a bracha, Malkosh. Like I don't know, like where we got like a where did we get that Malkosh is a bracha?
Well, we assume, but now we're asking over here. We say, why are we assuming that? Maybe Malkosh is a bad thing. So we're saying over here, well, no, because Yoreh, maybe Yoreh is a bad thing. So we finally said, yeah, we brought a pasuk. That said, the word of Yoreh, the lashon of the Gemara, again, the Gemara's lashon was, the Gemara's pasuk, the lashon of the pasuk was, Yoreh, Moreh letztaka. Moreh letztaka means Yoreh is staka, Yoreh is tzedek, and that means that therefore it's a positive thing. And if Yoreh is a positive thing, and since Yoreh and Malkosh are put together, then Malkosh also is a positive thing. It's not what we're learning part.
So we assume.